when I was first introduced to Justin, John Blake and I were sitting in the booth of a restaurant, and John looks up over my left shoulder and says hi to somebody. I can't see him. He's just out of my view. And he introduces us. He says, "Justin, Eric, Eric, Justin." And I turn, and as I do, I take this stump in my hand, this fleshy club, no fingers and no thumb. And it was flat, like plastic. And I looked up into his face, and it was this stretched mask, shiny skin of a man who had been horribly burned. On the way home that night, John told me the story about him. Well, Justin was a dishwasher. He was a good kid. He worked hard. But the most amount of money he'd ever really made in a week would probably be $250. So he saved up and he scrimped. And he got enough money to buy a motorcycle, one of those hybrid motorcycles that you can ride on asphalt and on dirt. And he went to the gas station and he topped it off, and it had one of those new gas caps where you push the button and it pops it open. He got on it, and he's riding down the main drag, t-shirt and blue jeans, nice sunny Southern California day. About 35 miles an hour, a car in front of him comes to a sudden stop, and he hadn't had a lot of experience on a motorcycle, so he dumps it. And as it's sliding along the asphalt, something happens and the button gets pushed and the gas cap flips open. And a spark from the gas tank on the concrete ignites the gasoline. And Justin says the last thing he remembers is trying to cover up that hole and watching his fingers and thumbs melt away. He got an obscene settlement from the motorcycle company. Millions and millions and millions of dollars, and then a promise of a few million dollars every year for the rest of his life. And with the dishwasher's mentality, he just spent with reckless abandon. When I first met him, he was living in Marlon Brando's old house in the Hollywood Hills. He had an entire music studio in his basement, and he fancied himself a singer. But he couldn't sing very well. But no one would tell him. And he had this thing that he would do where he would yodel. This rock yodel. Yo, yo. Yo, yo. John's girlfriend, John, and I would go up to his house. John's girlfriend would jump up and clap and sing, "Champagne and caviar, champagne and caviar." Justin would pull out a wad of money from his pocket, peel off a couple of $100 bills and hand them to her. And she would hop in his car and drive down the hill to the most expensive store. Back with him. Everybody was always taking the things that he got tired of, things that he paid extravagant amount of money for and got bored with. They'd ask him if they could have it, and they'd just take it. He barely ever left the house during the day. He felt like a monster. And one day, after leaving his house, John turned to me. I was sitting in the passenger seat of his truck. And he said, "You know what would be a great idea? We can make some money with this. What if we got Justin out on the stage with a G-string? The Lonesome Stain. The Roving Stain. Think of the marketing. We could sell lighters that say I was burned at a Lonesome Stain concert. Be burning their arms. We could sell t-shirts with burn holes in them. Just imagine. I looked over and John was glassy-eyed, smiling, looking out the windshield. I was 15 years old when he told me.